This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Invest Talk. It is Friday. And our main mission is the same as it is every day, give you an hour a day to access good information and perspective to help you make better choices with your money. Another way we can serve you is through our Saturday morning wealth conferences. We haven't had one in a while. This time we'll be in San Jose for this three-hour session. This conference is designed for a wider segment of our listenership. We're calling this a wealth workshop because we're going to get into some practical money matters that can benefit everybody. It's practical. So we're going to talk about, remember, it's October 4th in San Jose, 9 to 12. And we're going to talk about setting up a trust or will, life insurance. We're going to talk about 529 programs, Coverdell, college savings plans, all those things that affect your life. Now, we're just going to touch on them. We're not going to go into depth on any of these things, but we're going to try to give you an overall view of what these things do and whether you should have them or not. Okay, then we're going to shift to 401ks and IRAs and annuities, and then we'll shift to Social Security, long-term care, budget. We're going to touch about all these things. Also, however, we're going to talk about risk. You know how we've discussed risk on this show forever. Justin and I will be talking about our software that we've been asking you to go and use for free on our website called Riskalyze, which can create a score of risk that you are comfortable with taking, and it can create a retirement map if you have enough money. We're going to do some practical examples of that, you know, of using brokerage accounts or any accounts, and then just kind of build you a portfolio and show you how you can adjust the risk of the portfolio and show you what a higher risk, a low risk, a medium risk portfolio will produce over long term and how much money you can take out of it and whether or not you'll run out of money before you pass away. Now, this conference is packed with information that you can use and use the information to build your investment life and come up with a spending strategy. Now, of all the conferences we've done, I think this is the most comprehensive in scope. It's designed to help you shape your plan, to help you take control of your own financial future. You know how you just don't know how much money you have and do you have enough in retirement? We're going to try to show you how you can figure that out. It's very, very difficult to know, well, do I have enough money? Can I retire? And what's going to be, and this will help. This will help you. Again, it's October 4th in San Jose tomorrow. Just go to investtalk.com, investtalk.com with two T's. Okay, let's get started. Let's get to work. You can talk to us live, 4 to 5 Pacific time, or between times if you like. Just leave your question. Here's a question that came in on our 24-hour listen line, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve. This is Jeff from Virginia. Listen to your podcast. I was wondering if I was going to invest $1,000 in an account my kids, where would be the best place to put it? What I mean by that is, would I put it in a Roth IRA form or just a plain stock or an ETF form, and, you know, without taking a tax hit, or maybe somewhere where they could get access to it later down the road, say like when they get in their 20s and they may need it to purchase a car for school or whatever. Just wondering where would be a best place to put money like that for the long term so it can grow and they won't take a tax hit on it as hard. I do realize if I do put in a Roth IRA, they won't be able to take it out until later years, but that's not really what I'm looking to do. Look forward to listening to your comment back on your show. Thank you.
Okay, well, you can't really put in an IRA or Roth IRA because to do that, the children have to make money. They have to have an earning. So that's probably not available for a young child. And, of course, you could use a 529 or a Coverdell. That's for education only, though. And you mentioned maybe to buy a car or something else, education as being one of the things. So it might be, in this situation, the UPMA, uniform. This is an account that for a minor that you can set up in their name that you put money in, but you control it until they reach the age of majority, which is 18 years old. But you don't have to tell them about it. But it's their money once you put it in there. But it's an account in their name that you control. And you can put money in it if you want. Okay? An UTMA, Uniform Gift to Minors Act. I don't know. I forgot what the name is. But you can set up that kind of account for them if you wish. And probably you'd want to just buy an index fund with that money. You know, and just let it sit there. Let it grow. Especially if they're young. Over a period of time, it will work fine. But good question. So that's probably what you do for children. Now, if you have a teenager and he's making some money, you know, he works at a part-time job, then you want to set, and he maybe doesn't have 401k because many part-time jobs don't. But you could open up an IRA or a Roth IRA for him, and then you could put money in it for them. And that would be great to start them early on a retirement plan. That would be very, very good. But of course, you're right. They can't touch it or shouldn't touch it. If they do, they'll get penalized and taxed until they reach the age of retirement. So, if you read the advice on the internet, you know that you should sell all your stocks right now. A billionaire predicts economic crisis beyond the Great Depression. A closer look at the wisdom of selling now. You know, you got to be real careful. And we're going to talk about, you know, getting scared out of the market. And believe me, us professionals are subject to that too. Don't think we're not. We are. But we're going to talk about that and take a little bit deeper look. And that's going to be one of our main talking points today. I want to talk about IPOs in general. And are they good to buy? You know, you heard me talk about it before, and I'm not a big one to buy IPOs because of the risk involved. And I have some statistics I might be able to share with you. I hope to share with you. And then maybe we should talk about why you should consider buying energy stocks now. Have you seen what has happened to energy stocks? They haven't done so well. But maybe why you should think about them. And I want to also discuss, remember yesterday I talked about why the bond and stock investors sees what Janet Yellen and the Fed is doing differently. You know, they're going like they see it. You know, where interest rates are going and when, they both have two different points of view. And I want to talk about retirement woes, the problems people are faced or having in retirement. What are some of the problems? So if we know what the problems are, maybe we can avoid some of them. Okay, that's going to be our talking point today.
And now this InvestTalk Market Update for Friday, October 3rd, brought to you by KPP Financial. It was all smiles on Wall Street. A surge in hiring last month was likely the reason. The Dow Industrials jumped 208 points to 17,009 today. A look at the S&P 500 index. It rose right along, up 21 points, about 1% to 1967. The NASDAQ Composite ran up 45 points. Or 1%. Today's gains, measured against the week's losses, put things about even for the week. The government reported that employers added 248,000 jobs in September. The unemployment rate fell to 5.9%. That's the lowest since 2008. The dollar surged as traders anticipated higher U.S. interest rates and economic growth. Prices for gold and U.S. government bonds fell for the same reason. Gold fell 1.8%. to $1,192 an ounce. And that's our market update. If you'd like to invest 3 hours tomorrow morning with Steve and Justin, they'll help you connect all the dots in assembling a retirement plan that's suited to you. It's 9 to noon tomorrow at the Hyatt House in San Jose. Registration begins at 8:30. Walk-ups are welcome. And now more of this InvestTalk replay. You can get your question to us 24 hours a day at 888-99-CHART.
We hope to see you tomorrow, Saturday morning, 9 to noon at the Hyatt House in San Jose. It's going to be our wealth conference. It's going to be a wealth workshop. We want to see you there. Okay, we're going to go to Jim in Palo Alto. How are you doing, Jim?
Thanks for taking the call.
I appreciate you making it.
Hey, I have a quick question for you regarding Roth IRAs. When one invests in a Roth IRA and you make trades, you create capital gains and losses,
yes.
What happens with the short-term versus long-term capital gains? Since they're not taxed, is that not a consideration at all?
Not a consideration at all.
Okay, so that is the advantage over just a regular brokerage account.
In a Roth and a regular IRA, you don't care about short-term, long-term capital gains. You don't care about any of that. You trade whatever you want to do because there's no tax on it.
Excellent.
Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Appreciate the call. Have you weighed in on our Twitter poll? There's a new way to get to the conversation on InvestTalk. Here's this week's question. Are you looking to tailor your portfolio to more socially responsible investing? And should you? We'd love to read your answers on the program. Send it to send it via Twitter now at InvestTalk. That's with two T's, InvestTalk. And you can get your question to us today, right now, the same way. Or you can do it the old-fashioned way by a telephone. 888-99-CHART is our number.
Now let's get back to you and your questions on InvestTalk. And if you're listening on your smartphone right now, you already know about our TuneUp app. You can download it for free on InvestTalk.com, and then you can InvestTalk anywhere you go. You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART, let's talk to Eric and Hayward. How you doing, Eric?
I'm really good, Steve. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Steve, I got a twofold question. I have a government job. And I'm in a thrift savings plan. It's one of the very good plans, but I always wonder why don't they have much choices for us? They only have a C fund, F fund, and I fund, which is international.
Right.
And we have a no exposure to REITs or any commodities or any other options.
Yeah.
And I try to send them email on monthly basis, but no response from. I heard it's the biggest 401k plan in the America, but... second fourth question, I'm 40 year old. I have $250,000 in my TSP plan. I always wonder what funds I should be and how much percentage should be in CSNI. And I want to stay away from the bonds right now because everybody talking about it's going to be an interest rate hike and we can lose a bunch of money in those.
Okay, Eric, that's
thank
good.
You very much.
Good question. A thrift savings plan is a government. It's a government plan, and they don't offer you good choices because they're lazy. Because there's absolutely no reason not to, and it's almost like they want to take care of you. Here's only three choices, so you can't make too much of a mistake. Well, to me, it's it's kind of insulting. But at 40 years old, you probably and $250,000, you probably want to be in the growth. The growth fund. Yeah, I think it's not the income because that's the one that have bonds and not the. I don't remember what the symbols mean exactly, but I know one of them is a growth plan, and that's the one you probably should stay with because you're 40 years old and you got lots of years, and that's where you're going to make the most money over those years. Now, you also will have volatility. Look what happened in 2008. That kind of growth portfolio probably went down 40-50%. But then it made it all back up, and it will do it again. It happens all the time. So don't think it won't. It will, but you just stick with it and keep investing. You'll be fine. I mean, you're only 40.
Okay?
Eric, appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're open to talking with you about any money matter, everybody, from rolling your 401k into an IRA or saving for your grandkids' college, whatever you want to talk about, as long as it's financial. So give me a call, 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. You can reach me right now.
Isn't it kind of risky to invest when public sentiment is so negative? Or what's your question? Ask it right now, 888-99-CHART on Invest Talk.
You're listening to our podcast produced 5 days a week, and we thank you for being here. Also, if you'd like a professional review of your retirement portfolio, even though you may live out of range of our California offices, it can still be done using email, fax, and phone. To begin the process, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Schedule a Meeting heading under Steve's picture, and someone will get right back to you. Invest Talk continues on this Friday with portfolio manager Steve Peasley. How to invest when the world is in chaos. That's our talking point on the next Invest Talk. But there's still plenty of time today, of course. 888-99-CHART is how to get through to Steve right now. You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though. 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART. And Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Sell, sell, sell. When to sell. How to sell. You hear everybody yelling it, that things are overvalued or you're worried about the market. And I do so myself. Don't think I don't. But how do you sell? When do you sell? When's the best time to sell? That kind of thing. Well, here's some helpful hints. Sell when your investment idea isn't working. Maybe you thought last year Radio Shack was the greatest thing. It was cheap and it was, going. It would just look like it was a real good bargain, and it didn't kind of work. Got cheaper. Sell when it doesn't work. And move on. Go to something else that does. Sell when you're taking more risks than you're comfortable with. Now, if you think the market is too high or bubbly and you're not comfortable with that. With being fully invested in the market, okay, then sell down to a comfort level and just wait. You can do that. Sell when you have tax losses that can help you pay with your tax situation. Sell for tax loss reasons. You can do that. There's nothing wrong with that. I do it every year, by the way. I look at my unrealized losses and my realized gains and see if we can reduce our tax bite. Why not? That makes perfect sense. So there's some reasons for selling. There's valid reasons for selling. Maybe you feel too uncomfortable with the risk you're taking. You want to reduce your exposure to the market. Okay. You want to sell stuff that's not working. You want to give up at some point. Say, okay, this hasn't worked. I need to move on. Let me try something else. And then, of course, you can sell because you want to, for tax reasons. You want to realize some losses to apply to some gains that you have, and why not? You want to pay everybody pays their fair share of taxes. I'm not talking about getting away with not paying your fair share. I'm talking about using the tax code to benefit yourself properly. That's all. I'm not talking about trying to avoid taxes, but why should you be willing to pay more than you need to? That's what I don't understand about some of the arguments that you hear about corporations, moving overseas. I'm not sure why we don't, as a stockholder, don't we want our companies that we own to take advantage of the tax situation of lowest taxes? Don't mind paying taxes. But, if you pay a foreign tax on earnings, you're a U.S. company and you pay a foreign tax, and you pay the income tax in that foreign country where you earned that money, why would you bring it back to this country and pay another income tax on it here in the United States? U.S. is the only country that does that, or one of two, I think, that does that. Why would you do that? Your job as a CEO is to benefit the owners of that company. That's your job. Anyway, it's just kind of interesting. So do tax loss selling. There's nothing wrong with it. Tim, Newport Beach, how you doing?
Thanks for taking my call. This is an insurance question, and I'm with a insurance company, a longtime customer, and I have home, rentals, and auto, no claims whatsoever, and their premiums have gone through the roof. It's one of the publicly traded companies.
Which one? You can tell.
Allstate.
Okay.
And,
Tim, you need to get competing bids. You'll find that you'll get a bit, much bigger, and you get a bargain. You will find other companies that will, if you don't have any claims, remember, and just so you'll know, Tim, they find out. If you don't fess up to them, they will find out if you have claims. They have a system called the CIB Index, the insurance between the insurance companies, and all of them report to the third party that reports, every insurance company reports every claim to a third party. And then they all the members of this index, you have to pay to be a member, submit your name and your social security number to that index. They'll find out about every claim you ever made.
So you can't, good. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Most people don't know that. I used to work in the insurance business. That's how I know.
Oh, good. What's the downside?
There's really no downside. Even though you're a long-term customer and you say, well, gee, I don't want to lose my my relationship, you know what? Insurance companies, they don't give 2 cents about your relationship, Tim. You have too many claims, your history. Let's say all of a sudden you had 2 or 3 claims, a rash for some reason, for your house. They'll cancel you. They'll double your rate. They don't care about the 20 years you're with them. You have to shop around. Insurance is always available. You can find it. I'll guarantee you, Tim, you'll find it for 25% less than you're paying today somewhere.
Yep.
Yeah, you will find it cheaper. All you do is call up a few companies. There's so many. If you email me, Tim, I'll give you several companies I think you should check with.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Okay, Tim, appreciate it. Just go to investtalk.com and hit contact me, contact us, and type in, I'm the guy on the radio show. Could you give me a couple of insurance companies to check some rates for homeowners, auto? And also, Tim, I don't know if you do this, but if you might want to get excess insurance, you get umbrella?
I do.
Okay, then good. That's the way you go about it. Some people buy I'll buy $2 million or with their insurance. Well, no, buy $500,000, then get $2 million umbrella. Yeah,
all
that's
right.
much cheaper way.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate the call. We hope to see you tomorrow, Saturday morning, 9 to noon at the Hyatt House in San Jose. It's going to be our wealth conference. It's going to be a wealth workshop. We want to see you there.
You're listening to Invest Talk with portfolio manager Steve Peasley. This is your daily session with the money manager. Do you have a question? Our live listener line is open, 888-99-CHART. You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-992-4278. Bond and stock investors see what the Fed is doing differently. Now, why do I say that? I can prove it. Bond investors sees the reply of Janet, the recent statement by Janet Janet Yellen after the recent meeting, they see it as they're going to raise rates faster or sooner. Okay, whereas the stock investors say that their Fed is more worried about jobs, so will move slower in raising rates. Now, how do I know that? This is how you know it. Go look at the S&P 500 on a chart, and then go, and you can do that by looking at SPY, which is the ETF of the S&P 500, and then go look at the ETF for the bond market. And that would be BND for bond, BND, ETF bond. You'll find that the bond prices have fallen since the beginning of this month, whereas the S&P 500 has either moved sideways or up since the beginning of this month. I mean, just barely up. But it hasn't fallen. So two sets of equity investors are looking at what the Fed is doing differently. Stocks don't feel that interest rates are going to go up anytime soon, but the bond investors have more fear that it will. So they're looking at it differently. Now, which ones do you believe? Now, I wish that there was some crystal ball to tell us. But I will say this, bond investors usually are more accurate at predicting the direction of interest rates than stock investors. Now, having said that, stock investors are usually pretty good at predicting recessions. In other words, the stock prices start to fall before a recession really is visible. But believe it or not, bond investors are just as astute as a whole, as a group. So I have always watched the bond traders and what they're doing. And it used to be much more difficult than it is today. Today, if you want to see what junk bonds are doing, you type in JNK into a chart. JNK is the junk bond ETF. And you'll see that that has fallen sharply, very fast. And that has fallen, it fell very hard in July, made a somewhat of a comeback, two-thirds or so a comeback in August. And then in September, it fell almost close to where the bottom was in July. Junk bonds. And what that's telling you is interest rates are rising in those two areas, bonds and junk bonds and regular bonds. Interest rates have been rising. And you can see that in the 30-year Treasury. And it's now about near 4.25% for a 30-year mortgage. It's about, what, 4.25% 30-year mortgage right now. And, you know, it was 4% not that long ago. And a year ago last May, it was at its low at about 3.35%. But I'm just talking about recent couple months. And they're looking at it differently. That's all. And now your job is to figure out what does it mean. And too bad it's not always consistent what things mean. You can only play the odds, what it generally means. But you can't see what it actually means. You get to look back. In hindsight, it's always perfect. And I love it when pundits always use hindsight to say, see, this is what I told you to do. Or this is what, didn't I tell you that? Yeah, right.
And now this InvestTalk market update for Friday, October 3rd, brought to you by KPP Financial. It was all smiles on Wall Street, a surge in hiring last month was likely the reason the Dow Industrials jumped 208 points to 17,009 today. A look at the S&P 500 index, it rose right along, up 21 points, about 1% to 1967. The NASDAQ composite ran up 45 points, or 1%. Today's gains measured against the week's losses put things about even for the week. The government reported that employers added 248,000 jobs in September. The unemployment rate fell to 5.9%. That's the lowest since 2008. The dollar surged as traders anticipated higher U.S. interest rates and economic growth. Prices for gold and U.S. government bonds fell for the same reason. Gold fell 1.8%. to $1,192 an ounce. And that's our market update. If you'd like to invest 3 hours tomorrow morning with Steve and Justin, they'll help you connect all the dots in assembling a retirement plan that's suited to you. It's 9 to noon tomorrow at the Hyatt House in San Jose. Registration begins at 8:30. Walk-ups are welcome. And now more of this InvestTalk replay. You can get your question to us 24 hours a day at 888-99-CHART.
Okay, let's go to Max in Fremont. How you doing, Max?
I'm doing great. I was wondering if you had a guidelines or some kind of rules that you use to place stops or your stop limits.
Yeah, I do. The hardest thing to learn, Max, in this business is how to sell. And that's what you're talking about, right?
Right, exactly.
For everybody else, when he talks about stock limits, he's talking about stop losses, when to get out of a stock. Do I put an automatic thing in there and then sell at a certain price? It's very difficult, Max, to say, always do this. When I hear that from somebody, well, always sell when it's at an 8% or 10% pullback. I always say, well, you know, that's not necessarily the right thing. Sometimes it should be quicker and sometimes it should be longer. You know, it depends on the stock. For instance, Max, if a stock has run up really steep on a chart, like at a 45-degree angle or steeper, I put a trend line. I get much tighter in my stop. If the stock has run up very slowly over a year period, just slowly gone up, I give it more room.
Yeah.
So, depends. Also, Max, always put a value on the stock where you think it's worth. And if it gets to that value, put in a very tight stop because it's gone to what you think it was going to go to. Unless you reevaluate it again and you have it and it's higher still.
The thing is, I've kind of been sold on those ETFs.
Yes.
I don't know if ETFs really have a target, do they? Or
no, they don't, because they're right. A basket of stocks. On an ETF, Max, the best kind of thing you can do is go to charts and just try to learn the charts. Because remember, they represent a certain sector or a country or whatever. And if that sector starts to go down, they'll break the trend lines, like the 200-day trend line going, 200-day moving average.
Sure,
going
sure.
Use your trend lines. It's the best you can do on an ETF, in my opinion.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Patrick, Mill Valley, how you doing?
Here's my question. What I want to know is, my wife and I are so busy with our kids and stuff, and I'm really responsible for the portfolio of my retirement, which I watch pretty closely. But a lot of times we just have a tough time taking care of the bills.
Right.
And I didn't know if there's how you might go about getting like someone to help you with that.
Paying the bills or help managing your portfolio?
The bills, because the portfolio I can stay on top of, but taking care of the bills, everything just goes crazy, and I'm trying to, you know, make sure I put enough into retirement, but then there's always these bills popping up with kids and, you know, just life.
That is a real pain in the butt. That is life, though, isn't it, Patrick?
Yeah.
If you're talking about actually physically paying the bills, these days, almost all the bill payers, all of them, allow you to pay it online and be automatic about it. In other words, you never have to issue a check.
Oh, I see.
And almost all of them will let you set up a mortgage, electric bill, all those normal bills you get every month.
Right.
Every one of them would much prefer you not send them a check. Much prefer you do it automatically through your checking account, just do a transfer and let them notify you've collected your money and here's what the bill was.
Okay.
And that would save you a lot of headache. All the young guys in my office, that's how they do it. They never issue checks. Now, I must admit, my wife is a dinosaur. She pays the bills at the house.
Yeah, that's my wife, too.
Yeah, and she writes checks out, and I've tried to convince her to do otherwise. At the office, I have automatic pays a lot.
Okay.
Boy, does it save a lot of time and headache.
Yeah.
Does.
Okay, I'll look into that.
That will help you. That'll help you a lot.
Okay.
Thanks, Patrick.
Thanks.
Appreciate the call.
Where to go when you only have a moment or two and you want to see what's going on in the investing world? You could go to one of those super sites with news by the pound, or you could go to investtalk.com. All the important stories on one page. Click to go deeper when you want to take the time. Investtalk.com. It's not too much of a good thing.
888-992-4278. Let's talk about retirement woes. Okay, so what's going, you know, when you retire, and there's like, 10 million baby boomers turning 62 every day or so? I mean, it's a lot. Okay, so these people are going to have issues in retirement. And some people already in retirement are talking about what their issues are. The main issue is most retirees are going to be broke. They don't have the money. 15% of them will be in poverty. 15% of age 65 and older will be in poverty. Half of those people retired 65 and older, half will be near poverty. That is a ton. And people getting close to retirement age, 55 up to 65, they have saved less. 60% of them have saved less than $100,000. So they're going to be at or near poor too. So that's one of the biggest problems for the retirement community. Also, retiring is stressful. People think, you know, golden years, you're going to sit back, relax, start, you know, enjoy life. No, that's totally wrong. First of all, you have all this free time you need to do something with. You've got to keep your brain and your body active. Second of all, look how many people don't have any money. There's going to be a lot of money worries in retirement. For a lot of people, you're not sitting back and relaxing. Now, there's going to be a group of retirement people that will and are, but not probably more of a majority won't have that. Another problem in retirement is when you get older, you get lonely. Your family doesn't visit you very much. You have to make a concerted effort to be involved. Church groups, voluntary groups, I don't care. And you have to stay active. But retirement people, as you age, you get lonely, especially if you lose a spouse. It's lonely. I have personal experience with that. Not, you know, I have my father-in-law whose wife passed away. Health problems. It's not easy getting old. You're going to have issues, arthritis, whatever it is. There's, as you get older, things are going to happen to you, just as the natural course of events. So you got, remember, these are the problems retirement people are going to be faced with. And how about this? A problem that maybe they, retirement people, may not be as stressful to them as it is for their kids, because many of them are going to have to move in with their kids. And don't you think that's not stressful for both the retired person and the kids? Yeah, but they may have to. I'm not saying it's, I kind of like the idea in one sense. Keeps families close. But that's only if you like your family. I enjoy my family. I really like them. But you never know. So these are something. One more thing. When you're retired, something you have to worry about when you get older, everybody is trying to scam you. There's always a scam trying to take whatever little money you have away from you. Isn't that fun? Some of the problems you get to look forward to as you retire. The KPP Premium Newsletter came out today, as it does every Friday. This is a quick and easy source of investing information and perspective. It's easy to read. It's not very long. It's 3 pages or so. And there's different sections. It costs $9.99 a month. You can sign up for a year at a discount or take a month at a time. To subscribe, just go to investtalk.com. We hope to see you tomorrow, Saturday morning, 9 to noon at the Hyatt House in San Jose. It's going to be our wealth conference. It's going to be a wealth workshop. We want to see you there.
InvestTalk is your one-hour appointment with the money managers to help you do your retirement right. If you have questions about your 401k, your IRA, or are mutual funds best for you, or should you be thinking about investing in individual stocks, what's the difference between a broker and a portfolio manager? This is your hour. Call in with your question, 888-99-CHART, and get in on InvestTalk.
888-99-CHART is our number, everybody. You can reach us. We have lines open, 888-992-4278. Let's go to Casey in Sunnyvale. How are you doing, Casey?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm doing great.
I have a question. I wanted to do some sort of an alternative gift for my nephew who's 3 years old. I don't like the idea of buying toys, you know, crappy toys.
Okay.
I wanted to know if you have any suggestions for somewhere to put maybe money away for him.
Have you considered an UTMA? It's a Uniform Gift to Minors Act. And what it is, you can actually open up an account in their name and where you are the manager. But you're really giving the money to them. And you give money every year. And you can manage it. And when he turns 18, it becomes his money.
Okay, and I can find that at like any traditional bank, or do I need to go to
you
like
can open up an account at Schwab. Any money manager firm will open up an UTMA. Uniform.
And is there like a minimum you have to put in?
Nope.
Or is there criteria?
Nope. You can put in a buck.
Really? And it grows a little bit of interest each year? Is that what it does?
You put it initially, if it's very small, you just let it sit in the money market and you make money market rates. When it gets big enough that you can buy a mutual fund, you know, a few years down the road, you buy a mutual fund. And it really is a great tool to teach a young kid when he gets 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, how to make money, how to save money. I think it's a good idea.
Beautiful. Well, thank you very much. That helps me out tremendously.
Thanks, Casey. We're coming up on our last segment of the program. Let's try to get your question in. Call us at 888-99-CHART.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Coming up on the next InvestTalk, this popular investment tool enables investors to employ some sophisticated allocation strategies, but often at a price. ETF portfolios require caution. That's our talking point for Friday, October 3rd, and we hope you'll listen to that podcast. If you're in Northern California, you can sign up for our Saturday Morning Wealth Workshop at the San Jose Hyatt House. On October 4th, this coming Saturday, you can find out more about it and register if you'd like on investtalk.com. This is InvestTalk, and Steve is open to any money matter. Tesla is sending software updates to owners of all its electric Model S sedans that will give them cool new features, from traffic-based navigation to the ability to name their car. Tesla, something to talk about with Steve? 888-99-CHART is how to get through right now. You're listening to an encore presentation of InvestTalk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next InvestTalk.
Paul in Point Richmond, how are you doing, Paul?
Very good, thank you. I'm approaching retirement,
okay,
and I'm pretty well diversified, but I have $100,000. I'm afraid to really risk market right now. I'm in a money market. It's at 3%.
Okay.
I'm thinking I'll just, I don't know where else to go. I'm afraid of REITs. I'm afraid of the high yield market. I just think I may leave it sit there until, say, bonds go higher in terms of yield and then invest in a bond.
Can I give you a better way to go without taking any risk?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I don't know if you heard me talk about laddering before.
Yes.
Okay, how about taking that $100,000 and divide it up into maybe, let's say, 10 parts, $10,000 each?
Okay.
You could do CDs or you can do treasuries.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what you do is you go out like 6 months. Well, when do you think interest rates will go up? Maybe 3 months?
Yeah.
Okay, first one due in 3 months, go out 3 months. The next one, 6 months. The next one, 9 months. The next one, 1 year. Then 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. What you do is you keep ladder them out to the longer, so you keep going out far, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe go out only maybe 3 to 4 years,
okay?
So now, as interest rates rise, the first 10,000 comes due, you go out for like 3 years. And that'll give you the highest rate for 3 years, right?
Right.
Then the next one, now 6 months later, you're going to go out another 3 years. So 3 years and 3 months, the second one would come to you. See how I'm doing that?
Uh-huh.
What this does is called a ladder. If interest rates rise, you're getting more and more return. And over the long haul, if interest rates continue to rise, you will make more money. And it's very safe.
Okay.
You can do it that way. You know, if you lock up a CD for a year or 2 years,
mm-hmm,
and interest rates go up in between, you're not really maximizing your gain. You are maximizing your security, you know, if you're safe.
Yeah.
But the ladder idea is not that hard, really. When it comes up for renewal, you just got to tell the bank, you can do it by phone or whatever. They'll do it automatically over the phone. Tell them what you want.
What portion of that should I have available to pay tax on that income?
Well, what you do is you make sure that you have one come due a little bit before April 15th.
Okay. Yep.
That way you know it. Okay,
yeah,
here's $10,000. Okay. Well, how much do I need to pay taxes?
All right.
Paul, that's a good question.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks very much.
Now, we have to talk about the Alibaba IPO, right? I mean, but what about all the other IPOs? Well, there has been studies, and there has been a study for, if you take a look at 3 years past IPO price, 3 years. In the United States, for a U.S.-based company, 3 years after the IPO price, the average price is about 19% higher, 3 years. For Chinese IPOs, 27% lower, down from its IPO price. Interesting, huh? In the first half of 2014, the average gain for U.S. IPOs was 17%. Last year, it was 21%. That's a hot IPO market. Okay, so it's been hot and is hot. Now, if you look back further, from 1980 to 1990, the average first-day return on IPOs was 7.2%. From 1990 to 1998, it went up 14.8%, the very first day, the average. In 1999 and 2000, the tech bubble year there, IPO price was up 64% on the first day. That's crazy. And from 2001 to 2013, the average has been about 13% first day. Now, try to remember, the companies bringing these stocks out to the public, the big banks, they want to get as much money as they can for their client, meaning they want a high IPO price, Because remember, that goes back to the corporation, all that money. And at the same time, they want it to be successful. So what they do, is they push the prices higher. They support the price. They start buying the stock to keep the price up. That's one of the things they do. That's why I don't like buying stocks on that first day, first week. It's, you know, because you have manipulation going on. Legal manipulation. I don't like it. Before we close for the hour, we hope to see you tomorrow, Saturday morning, 9 to noon at the Hyatt House in San Jose. It's going to be our wealth conference. It's going to be a wealth workshop. We want to see you there.
It will help you map out your retirement readiness strategy. Sign up on investtalk.com.
I'm portfolio manager Steve Pisa with Justin Klein. On behalf of everybody at KPP Financial, we hope you'll join us again on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.